This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. We roll along with our first in 10, first segment or first segments of the show. 10 observations. We hit the big ones, then we get to everything else. These are still fairly important. Let's keep it rolling with number four.
Number four.
Shout out to the Commander special teams, because you don't get a lot of love for those. Like when we do our film review, we don't talk special teams ever. I don't even watch special team snaps. I'm just like, next. Give me back to the offense. Give me back to the defense. I might have to watch every kickoff of this game just for my own personal entertainment, because the hits these dudes deliver on teams from, you know, Tyler Owens has been great. Oh, he was out for this one. Bryson Tremaine comes in, plays a lot of his spots. He gets a couple of nice sticks. Jeremy Reeves, obviously been delivering big hits for years. The big one in this game, Jeremy McNichols on one of the kickoffs in the first quarter. I think it was after Brian Robinson scored his first touchdown. He absolutely de-cleats the ball carrier. And you're just like, oh, that had to hurt. And it carries over into every other part of the game. The energy that these units feed each other with is just fantastic. And the number one eater of energy and feeder of energy, if you will, on the defense.
Number five.
Is Frankie Louvu, that's a bad job on me. Clearly, Frankie Louvu should have been number four. That's his jersey number. You know what? That's an L on me. We'll review the tape. We'll get back to it. Write that down for next week. But Frankie Louvu was a man possessed in this game, and he continues to just get better and better the more comfortable he is with all the things that he's being asked to do in this defense. A blitzer from off the ball, coverage player who's making plays down the field, both in coverage and as a tackler if the other team is sometimes oh so unlucky to complete a ball where he'll just de-cleat you 10, 11 yards down the field. Obviously, as a pass rusher, he has 2.5 sacks. Overall, here's his stat line. 7 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for loss, and a fumble recovery. Not a bad day at the office. And Joe Witt Jr. has done a masterful job of using him. Frankie is picking his matchups up front as a rusher, and he's starting to win a little bit more. He hit a spin move in this game for one of his sacks that was filthy. Louvu is absolutely killing it, and he is the unquestioned, like, if Bobby Wagner is the brains of the defense, Frankie Louvu is the heart. He's the thing that makes them go. And the physicality he's playing with and the play style and all that kind of stuff that Dan Quinn likes. Woo, buddy. Good stuff. Number four.
Number six.
We can go with number six. The effort showed up again. We talk about playing hard and why it matters. Playing this game where it shows up big time. And I know Jay Gruden pointed this one out on Twitter. This is one of my favorite plays of the game. I pointed it out during the game yesterday. But Jay, if you want to see it drawn up a little bit with Jay mispronouncing a lot of names, then go ahead. It's a good time. Olamide Zaccheaus on Austin Eckler's 57-yard run sprints and ultimately winds up recovering an Austin Eckler fumble 57 yards down the field. Now, okay, that's impressive on its own. Wide receiver chasing the play, making sure that he's trying to block downfield. And he wasn't the only one, by the way. Terry McLaurin was absolutely hauling behind to get down the field and try to block the Browns that were chasing Austin Eckler, which I will point out did include Myles Garrett 50-plus yards down the field. That is disgusting. Why is that man able to run that fast? He's too big to run that fast. Humans aren't supposed to be able to do that. Anyway, Zaccheaus, though, he runs a jet motion on this, so he comes across, or an orbit motion. So he's on the right side of the formation, pre-snap, runs behind the shotgun of Jaden Daniels to the left, And then he looks back as the handoff goes to Eckler to the right. So he has run himself all the way across the field, away from the play. And he just starts running back towards it. Back. And sure enough, as the ball pops out at the end, who hops on top of it but Alameda Zaccheaus? I will, however, shout out Brandon Coleman and Luke McCaffrey. And I think it was Tyler Biadasz. There was another lineman down there. All them dudes ran after the football. If Zaccheaus didn't get it, I think another commander probably would have, because despite the fact that they were deep in the Browns secondary, there were about five commanders there and three Browns. That is mega. That is how you win football games, because the little things that you don't anticipate can happen on plays like that, and it can be the difference in retaining a possession, getting that final block to get you into the end zone. It's really exactly what Dan Quinn preaches every single Friday, and probably other days, but especially on Fridays, you got to finish. Finish Friday, turn into finish Sunday, and we absolutely love to see it.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number 7.
Joe Witt Jr. is doing a really good job with some of his simulated pressures. You probably heard that term over the last couple of weeks. It's been a kind of an in vogue thing since last season, but it's picked up big time this year. Simulated pressure is this. It looks like it's a blitz. A blitz by definition is, hey, there's four down linemen, we're going to bring five. So anything that's five plus rushers is a blitz. A simulated pressure, simulated blitz, if you will, is when we show that there's going to be five, but we actually only bring four. But it's not the four that you expect, and thus we can try to get ourselves a free rusher. So maybe four guys are on the line. We drop one of those guys out into coverage, and we blitz a linebacker or a safety. And because the offensive line is anticipating the four guys that are down rushing, they make their protection call accordingly. So how does this work functionally? If you want to see it happen in real time, go to Cleveland's second drive of the game. And on a... Oh, I didn't take it down. I think it was a second down. They dropped Dante Fowler out. He was lined up as the defensive end. And they blitz Bobby Wagner, and they blitz Wagner kind of on the outer edge of the offensive line. And DeJuan Jones, the right tackle for Cleveland, picks him up and lets Dorrance Armstrong, the other defensive end, run completely free at Deshaun Watson. Now, Armstrong misses the sack, and Watson ultimately throws an incompletion, scrambling out to his right. But you have a four-man pressure. You have one of the defensive ends, the premier pass rushing position in the sport, run completely free. That's good stuff. And they're doing it with really fun and interesting fronts where, whether you want to call it like a 3-4, I'll have to talk through this with Logan to get the technical differences, but whether you want to call it like a 3-4 or a 4-3 under front, they're kind of consistently playing five guys on the line. And if one of them is Dante Fowler, then he can drop out in coverage and be okay in a you know, just a quick zone look. You not want to put him man-to-man on anybody, but he can go cover some space. He's athletic enough, but he's coming most of the time as a pressure. So either you're getting five blitzers or you're getting four, but you're not sure who the fourth one is coming from. And they're doing some of that with Jamin Davis when he's on the field as well. So they're using these athletic guys at outside linebacker. And it's funny because we all kind of chuckled when they listed Dante Fowler as an outside linebacker, not a defensive end. But they're kind of using him that way. It is almost a 3-4 defensive end. But on the other side, they've got a 4-3 defensive end. And those edge players in their athleticism, their ability to do different things, and the creativity with which they're then using Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu as blitzers from off-ball linebacking positions has created some real problems for some offensive lines. And I'm excited to see them continue to experiment with that moving forward.
Number 8.
Just a couple of fun facts here real quick, and then one final point. First, the Browns on one drive had too many men on the field twice in one single drive. on one of them, the Commanders were able to get a playoff anyway. The first one, the referees saw it and stopped the play and just gave the Commanders the 5 yards. On the second one, they didn't get somebody off in time or whatever it was. And actually, I don't even think they ran somebody off. The play ran, and then they realized the Browns had too many. And on that play, Jaden Daniels pulled his own read and ran for 13 yards, meaning he ran for 13 yards against 12 men, and I just find that genuinely hilarious.
Number 9.
Some fun stats from the game. One that we don't get to use. Had the Commanders scored over 35 in this one, it would have been the first time they scored 35-plus in 3 straight games since 1983. I referenced that stat earlier. Instead, they just have to settle for the first time that they have scored 30-plus points in 3 consecutive games since 2005. Yeah, since 2005. That is the 8th time in franchise history. Here's some other fun ones, courtesy of Commanders PR. They're 4-1 to start the season for the first time since 2008. They are 2-0 at home to start the season for the first time since 2011. They've recorded 3 rushing touchdowns in 3 consecutive games for the first time in franchise history. That's right, the franchise with the Hogs and Riggo and first time 3 consecutive games with 3 rushing touchdowns in franchise history. They're the second team in NFL history to have at least 3 rushing touchdowns in 4 of their first 5 games, joining the 1954 San Francisco 49ers. Per NFL research, Washington is the first team since 1970 to score 150-plus points in their first 5 games while starting a rookie. At quarterback, per Elias, the Sports Bureau research agency, Washington has won 2 consecutive games by 20 or more points for the first time since 1997. They also held a 28, this is just a super random one, held a 28-point lead for the first time at home since November 15th of 2015 against the Saints. There's a big screen pass to Matt Jones in that game. My memory's dumb. I hate that I know that. Jaden Daniels, first player in NFL history to have 1,000-plus passing yards, 250-plus rushing yards in their first 5 career games. And his 34-yard rush against Cleveland is the longest rush by a Washington quarterback since Taylor Heinicke at a 38-yarder against Green Bay in Week 7 of 2021. The list goes on and on and on and on of cool things that happened in this game. Guys that set records. Terry McLaurin over 100 for the 17th time in his career. He also recorded his longest reception since Week 9 of 2020 and passed Jerry Smith for the 7th most receiving yards in franchise history. Also joined Santana and Gary Clark as the only players to register 400-plus receptions in their first 6 seasons with Washington. Yeah, all those numbers add up to say things are good right now in Ashburn / Landover and everywhere in the DMV in between, which brings us to
number 10,
which is where things are not good, which is Cleveland. Yo, the Browns suck. That team is terrible. And I could not complete a game review of this without simply pointing out the Browns are offensive. That offense is a joke. It's not well designed. It's not well called. Watson's a nightmare. Their other players don't play well. I feel somewhat bad for their defense, but they're not that good either. And their good players are banged. Like, they did some good stuff. Like, Joker's good. He can run. He can hit. Delpit's a good player. Myles Garrett is banged up, so he doesn't look like Myles Garrett. But, like, there's some stuff on that Browns defense. They deserve better. That offense and that organization, that franchise, man. It was like Washington cleared out the path for being the biggest dumpster fire in the NFL, and the Browns were like, we would like to reclaim our crown. Y'all can have it. It's just the poop emoji put on your head. Cleveland, as a town, as a city, y'all deserve better. The owner doesn't, and it's really his fault anyway. So, Jimmy Haslam, look what you built, sir. It's a reflection of yourself. That's our first and 10. Up next, Tell the Truth Monday. This is when you call us. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Your calls on what you saw as the Commanders move to 4-1. It's a victory Monday on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.